All right, Matthew chapter 4 here tonight. I want to revisit our family series, Raising Obedient Children. But what I want for us to do here tonight in particular is to understand what biblical obedience is all about. And let me just say this. It's one thing for parents or grandparents or whatever to understand this as far as their children are concerned. But can I remind you that also we are to be obedient children as well? So, you know, children of God. So as we understand, check these passages out here, I want for us to see what true obedience, biblical obedience, is all about. You know, sometimes we think, well, as long as, after the third warning or whatever, they finally do it, then they're obedient. No, that's not obedience. So we'll take a look at that here tonight. Notice Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and following, just by way of introduction here tonight. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And notice it says they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." You notice here the importance of a couple of words here. It says in first of all, in verse 20, it says, "Straightway they left their nets and followed him." Now, you think about straightway, what that word means. I mean, they're making a straight path to follow what Jesus Christ has said. Jesus has called these men, say, "Follow me." That's the command, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But the command was, "Follow me." And it says they straightway left their nets and followed him. You notice here they're not thinking, well, see, I don't know, can I afford this? They're not debating, they're immediately obeying the Lord. It says again in verse 22, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now, I believe in particular here one reason why they immediately, straightway, obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ is because they recognized the authority of the one issuing the command. Here's the problem in many cases with young people, teenagers, whatever the case may be, is they don't truly recognize the authority, the God-ordained authority, that's issuing the command. So, young people, I want you to listen very carefully. I want every eye up here, young people. When you do not immediately, straightway obey your parents, you are saying by your actions that you do not recognize their authority before God. God is the one who ordained authority. And I want you to consider that is nothing more than rebellion to not immediately obey their commands. And again, I don't believe we have issues in our church. Somebody's, you know, parents are going to tell you to do things contrary to this book right here. That's the only reason. Again, you still have to honor those parents. But that's the only reason we find in Scripture that you do not have an obligation to obey what your parents have to say. But again, it says they immediately obeyed Jesus. They straightway followed him. Again, the children are to respond to their parents, to that God-ordained authority. And let me just say this, as I alluded already, obedience is not a third call. Amen. This is the third time I told you. That is not obedience. That is still rebellion. To wait three times. Notice it doesn't say Jesus had to call them three times before they finally followed Jesus. So you notice again, obedience is not a third call. Obedience is not doing it when you feel like it. I don't feel like going to work, so I'm just not going to go to work. That's the attitude a lot of young people have today. I don't feel like carrying out the garbage. Did I ask how you felt? My boss doesn't ask how I feel. It's amazing some of the excuses I hear why people call in for work. I mean, just an everyday headache. Oh, I got a headache. I can't go to work. Now, I understand when it's a migraine and it makes you, I mean, it puts you down. I understand those. We're not talking about those kinds of things. And again, I've used this illustration from time to time because it was so irritating when I lived across from him. You know, somebody who's on disability, supposedly not able to go to work, but yet he had one of those little junker of a car that he would have to push start in order to head out anywhere. Oh, he could push start his car, but he was not physically able to go to work. I'm sorry, there's a problem with that. So again, I don't feel like doing something. That's not the question, and you know that's being up for debate right now. And I want you to consider that we as parents and grandparents should lead by example in obeying God. While you don't obey, I want you to think about this. if we're not careful in obeying straightway immediately, our children can come back and say, our grandchildren can come back and say, well, you don't obey. What are we teaching by our example? Notice Matthew 21, passage we just saw on Sunday. I want you to notice this again as far as obedience is concerned. Remember again, Jesus told a parable with the religious leaders in particular in mind with this. But I want you to notice something again here as far as obedience in this context, as we're studying out this concept here tonight. Matthew 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. All right, so two sons. All right, so let's think about the picture, the story that Jesus is telling here. And he came to the first and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. All right, so is that rebellion or not? Okay, it's rebellion, but notice he afterward repented and went. Right, so there was repentance, a change of heart on that. So he ended well, but he did not start well. Verse 30, and he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. One of them twain did the will of his father. They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when he had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. I want you to notice here, first of all, true obedience will be immediate. All right, we've already addressed that as far as Matthew 4. True obedience is immediate. And I want you to notice also in this parable, there's another principle here. We need more than good intentions. Good intentions is not obedience. Go mow the lawn. Yes, sir. And then you don't go do it. That's good intentions don't get the lawn mowed. So again, we need more than good intentions. Also want you to consider, though, saying you will do something that is commanded is not obedience. Saying something, yes, sir, I go, and not going or not doing is not obedience. Here's another thing I noticed in this passage. The second son is respectful but disobedient. It doesn't matter how much you honor your parents, if you disobey them, you're still disobeying God's word. So you notice here, it doesn't matter how respectful, yes, Dad, you're such a good dad. It doesn't matter how much you respect them. If you're disobeying, you still have rebellion in the heart. Notice with me Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is an interesting thought here as far as obedience is concerned. Very familiar verses, but I want you to see this in light of the obedience principle. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, as far as obedience to God, notice it is not my duty to try to understand everything that God says I am supposed to do. All right, so let's bring it down to the family situation. Notice true obedience is not reasoning why I shouldn't. Not leaning on my own understanding. Go do the dishes. Go carry out the garbage. One of the favorite questions that young people ask is why? So what's the classic answer that parents will give? Because I said so. Because I told you to. Now, I want you to consider, young people, when you get to a working age, young men in particular, you get out in a career, your boss is not going to say, well, if you understand my orders, understand my wishes, and you feel like you don't have to, then you're off the hook. How long will you hold a job like that? But why don't you consider, understanding the command is not normally the issue, though. When a young person asks why, or when an employee asks why, the reason why they're asking why is not for understanding. They already understand the command. What don't you understand about take out the garbage right now? What don't you understand about that? See, it's not the understanding that's the issue. The understanding about the command, I should say, that's not normally the issue. The issue that why they're asking that question is, why is it important for me to do that job? Now, let me ask you. Men, have a job? Do you do everything that you do? Maybe I'll ask it this way. Everything that you enjoy doing, right? I don't enjoy, I didn't enjoy having to go down to Firth Co-op and have two tires repaired, adding about an hour and a half to my day. I didn't enjoy that. But I also decided I wasn't going to enjoy being stranded out in the pouring rain on some gravel road and everything with two flat tires as well. So I do the things I don't feel like doing. You know, why do I have to clean out the garage? Why do I have to mow the lawn? Why do I have to take out, so-and-so in the family hasn't done it. I didn't ask about them. I'm not giving a command to them. Our bosses give us commands whether we like to do those things or not. We have certain duties, and so this is something to teach you so that you are a responsible employee someday so you can hold down a job. All right, so do you need any more reasons why? So again, no reasoning. So let me just point out here, when I lean onto my own understanding, that's not obedience. That's not straightway immediate obedience. When I am leaning on my understanding, well, I have to understand that command first, Lord. I'm not going to obey it until I understand. Well, there's a lot of things I'm not going to understand until I get to the other side of heaven. So I still have to obey. Notice Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So again, I'm emphasizing true obedience, biblical obedience, is straightway, immediately doing what is commanded. It's not enough to be respectful. It's not enough to make promises, whatever. True obedience is doing immediately. Also, I want you to notice here, true obedience is from the heart. It reminds me of the humorous little story of the boy that was told to sit down in the back seat of the car. The boy would not sit down. Finally, I said, sit down. Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm not sitting down on the inside. That's not true obedience. Again, true obedience is from the heart with no bad attitude. It's with a right attitude. So notice here the example of work situations, servants. Actually, this is a slave-master situation. Well, my boss is a slave driver. No, I don't think we have any idea about that here in America. We're paid at least minimum wage and all those kinds of things. This is Rome. Half of Rome, the Roman Empire, was under slavery. Half of the Roman Empire were slaves with no rights. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Notice how we're to serve our masters with fear and trembling in the singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So notice here, as I serve my boss, I am to do it with singleness of, notice, heart. So we're emphasizing here the heart. But notice I am to do it as if I'm serving Christ. Can I remind you that my boss is a God-ordained authority in my life? So I'm not doing it just for my boss. As I serve my boss, I'm supposed to be serving Christ. As if I'm doing it unto Christ. As if my boss is Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Again, true obedience is from the heart. I want you to notice here, not with eye service as men pleasers. Only doing what you're supposed to when the boss walks around. Now, I have a job, actually both of my jobs. I don't have somebody standing over me all day telling me what I'm supposed to do. You think about it, I'm on a route. I don't have one of my bosses riding in the van with me making sure I'm doing my route. Yeah. Some of our vehicles, this is humorous at times actually, but sometimes a contractor with FedEx will have monitors in their vehicles. And had one man, a younger driver, say, does this truck have a, I think he called it a tattletale machine on it? I actually know of a man down in the terminal in Texas. He actually lost his job because of one of those monitors on a truck. First of all, he was revving the truck up so much. I mean, the monitor actually indicated on the truck every time it went over 4,000 RPMs. I mean, it was constant. I mean, he's racing around evidently. Well, then supposedly he was having trouble getting his route done. And he was complaining, I just can't ever get it done. Well, my boss, tracing him, figured out that he was sitting for an hour and a half to 2 hours at home on his route. No wonder you can't get done on time. You're out of here. You think about some of these monitors, okay? I don't think I have a monitor on my van. But God knows if I'm doing my job. So you think about the true obedience is actually from the heart. Not with eye service as men please. Okay, young people. Your parents have told you to do something. Okay, mom and dad aren't around, so I don't have to do it right now, right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you're a men pleaser. Or a woman pleaser, again, if it's your mom. I mentioned this. I preached this message, that concept at the Christian school. I was an elementary principal. And there were times when we would have young people acting up in the classroom. My wife and another teacher were out in a modular building. And so they thought that they were off to themselves. And so they could act up whenever some would act up, they thought, whenever they wanted to. And so we got walkie-talkies so that they could let Brother B know that there's an issue going on. And it's always interesting, especially when I would go out there with the paddle, because it's somebody that I was constantly dealing with. As soon as I'd opened up that door, Brother B's showing up. So I mentioned that in the chapel message as I preached that. You're a men pleaser. You're nothing more than a man pleaser. Okay, so let me ask you, how long are you going to hold a job if you're only working when the boss is around? So again, true obedience is from the heart. Notice verse 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That would raise our perspective of obedience and doing what we're supposed to when we think about lifting it above the authority in our lives to the Lord as authority. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he's a slave or he's free. And ye masters, do the same unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. I think of a practical application in the family situation. Is, I told you to do it. That's threatening. I want you to consider, parents, I believe you should tell them once. And sometimes, you're going to have a reminder, but okay, the 3-4 times, they know they can push your buttons. The reality is, okay, if you don't do what you've been told, you're going to suffer the consequences. And let me ask you, how long should you paddle a child? To what age? Sometimes, all it takes is 6-7-year-old because they do what they're supposed to. You know, I'm convinced that if a 15-year-old is going to act like a 5-year-old, then they may need paddled. We did that a few times in the Christian school. So you notice here again, from the heart. You see, the reality is if I obey from the heart, if I'm wanting to serve from the heart, I won't have to worry about the consequences. It says in 1 John 5:3, the Lord's commands are not grievous. The Lord's commands are not grievous. Now, as far as rebellion is not caused by a strict home or a strict environment. I want you to think about something. We live in a day where we're wrong as parents or grandparents if we paddle our children. I don't believe it's wise to do it in public. Sometimes maybe in public we do have to talk about timeout. Just for the sake of the general public. I remember we were having a meal with a pastor and his family, and the young child was acting up. The, the dad said to the son, you want time out? No, daddy, no, daddy, no, no, daddy. And then he said to us, time out for me is different than what the world thinks is time out. You may need to take them off somewhere privately and administer the Board of Education, the seat of learning. Time out is not sending them to the room so they can play all their video games and watch their TV. And all that. What kind of punishment is that? Oh, yeah, I want to get in trouble so I can go play my video games. I don't have to carry out the garbage or anything. Rebellion is not caused by a strict home or the environment. Rebellion, I should say, the strictness of the command is will reveal rebellion in the heart. Notice with me Isaiah 14 as an example of this. Now, would you say that God is strict? Well, he's a holy God and he's got certain requirements. But I want you to consider, in the perfect setting, the perfect environment, I want you to notice what happens here in verse 12. Isaiah 14, very familiar passage, but I want for us to see this in light of rebellion. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Notice here as far as the heart is concerned. Notice again, true obedience is obeying from the heart. For thou hast said in thine heart. Now, of course, God knows everything that's in our hearts. God knew what was in Lucifer's heart. He did not speak it publicly. But you notice here that this pride in his heart, this rebellion in his heart, made him a devil. What's he saying in his heart? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. So the strictest of environments, we find rebellion. It's not the strictness of the setting, the environment, that causes rebellion. There are those who, in fact, sometimes, you know, maybe even our families, you know, some liberal family in our family, extended family, whatever, will think that we're going to have rebellious children just because we're strict in our homes, because we require certain standards in our home. That's not what produces rebellion. That's not, okay, you think about Adam and Eve. There is no one more loving than the God of heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave. I want you to consider that God is strict, but he's also loving. But Adam and Eve rebelled against his command. Lucifer rebelled against God, his authority. Rebellion is not caused by a strict home. It reveals rebellion in the heart. So again, we are to obey from the heart if we're going to truly obey. So let me just point out here, young people. Preacher's preaching at us tonight. I want you to think about this. If you do what you're told to do, but you're murmuring and complaining about the whole time, that's not true obedience. Amen. I can't believe why Seth didn't have to do this. I can't believe why Jeremiah didn't have to do this. That's rebellion. I could use illustrations over here too. So I thank you guys for allowing me to use you as an illustration tonight. But would you notice here again, rebellion is not caused by a strict home. It's not caused by the standard. Notice me, Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see here that true obedience is doing right when the authority is not around. True obedience is doing right even when the authority is not around. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, because the preacher is around. No, that's not what he says. As ye have always obeyed, because my parents are around. You know, my dad is not following me around to make sure I'm doing everything that he taught me as a child. Not as in my presence only, but notice this, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear. That does not say work for your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what God has worked in. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So let me ask you, young people, do you obey more or less when your parents aren't around? Do you obey more or less when your parents aren't around? Well, Dad and Mom aren't around, so I can watch a video game now, even though they said not to. Dad and Mom aren't around, so I don't have to mow the lawn yet. I heard one preacher talking about this, and he said that when his dad said, you're going to mow the lawn before the end of the day, he said there were a few times he had to mow the lawn to headlights just to fulfill the command. But he finished out the day finally obeying. I want you to consider obedience, true obedience, is doing right when the authority is not around. Oh, this always gets me too. Actually, it's getting less and less this way, but when people find out that I'm a pastor, all of a sudden they're conscious of what they're saying. So why were you, what changed? You know, God heard you. I'm just like, but this is the humorous one, though. It's like, somebody in the church smoking. It's like, I can still smell it. You don't need to hide it. Is that your clothes burning because you got it too close or what? It's like, true obedience is doing right when the authority is not around. Here's the reason why. Learning to properly obey the Lord. Young people, here's why it's so important for you to obey your parents. Someday you're going to be out on your own. So are you going to wreck and ruin your life? Your parents won't always be there to tell you to clean up your room. Oh, I can't believe my parents made me make my bed. Well, you're the one who sleeps in it, so make your bed. As a child, if we didn't pick up our room, pick up the toys in our room, we lost everything that was on the floor. I remember we had our metal barn, but nothing left to play in that metal barn. So we had animals with our fingers. It's like, and I to this day, I don't know where my dad stored all that stuff. We never did find it on the farm. Then we moved to a new place. We got everything back for a while, but if it didn't get up off the floor, we lost it. Maybe we should lose a few things so we know the importance of obedience. Learning to properly obey the Lord. Yes, sir. Right away, sir. But you don't do it. Your respect is worthless. I go, sir, right now. I want you to consider when the Lord tells us to do certain things. See, that's why I'm so thankful for parents that made me obey. Amen. Because now what's happening is hopefully, more times than not, I've transferred that obedience to my parents, to obedience to the Lord. Young people, that's one reason why we're losing so many young people. It's the work of the Lord. They never learned to obey, so that when they get out on their own, they'll obey what the Lord says. Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn to obey you first and foremost. Straightway. Immediately. Those are two important words as far as obedience. Lord, respect, honor is worthless if we're disobedient. And yea, Lord, it's even rebellion in our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd reveal to us, even as adults, our level of obedience. I don't like that command. Lord, help us to obey. Help us to serve you, please you from our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.